Welcome back to another episode of Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. I'm your host, Eric Hart.
And I'm your other host, Ashley Flowers. Today, we're going to finish up our conversation with Chris Julio that we had on last week.
Hi there.
Great. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Sure. So we were talking last week because you went to undergrad at Santa Cruz, and then you went to graduate school at University of North Carolina School of the Arts. And one of them was a liberal arts school, and one of them was a conservatory. So you have some experience with both types of schools. So for the young props person trying to think between going to a liberal arts school and conservatory, what can you say is the differences, the advantages and disadvantages of each?
I think for starters, I guess I have to explain a little bit of why I picked each school, mm-hmm. right? And now looking at it as an educator, it's even easier to see the sort of glaring differences.
Right.
If you want your hand, if you want to try your hand at a little bit of everything, liberal arts is great for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that as a student, especially me personally, I wouldn't have been the student ready for graduate school or even considering graduate school if it wasn't for that liberal arts education. And I went to a BA program, not a BFA program. So mm-hmm. I just have a bachelor of arts in theater arts. So super general, yeah. You know, it's like one of those programs where you have to take, everyone has to take dance, acting, and history. Everyone has to take I'm trying to think because the program isn't even that it isn't even the same anymore. It's been 11 years since I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have like maybe 50 hours of shop work and production, whereas at this conservatory, you know, we're so strict and regimented that there really isn't any room for exploring outside unless you have the kind of program that allows for that. So mm-hmm. within props, we're lucky here because my students can take different electives and different majors and it strengthens their concentration in props.
Mm-hmm.
In other conservatories, it's just really close and a tight, tight schedule, you mm-hmm. know, where you're working constantly. So in that regard, it was a pretty simple progression from a liberal arts education into a conservatory setting. That made sense for me. And it really has to do with how serious are you about your career? Like, do you know what you want to do when you're straight out of high school?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. I know I didn't. I mean,
right.
Gosh, how many people go to liberal arts, like, theater programs and think, I'm still going to act,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And you're like, probably not.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I'm pretty sure that I tried as much as humanly possible in undergrad to try everything. I mean, I was on wardrobe crew. I worked in the scene shop for as little amount of time as possible. I've never hung a light in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Still, to this day, I've never hung a light.
Hmm.
And, like, I don't think it's necessarily, like, something that's missing from my education, but I also haven't needed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I don't know how. It's not like I've never seen it done. It's just I've never taken a class in any of my concentrations. I've taken, like, 7 or 8 history, theater, and theory classes, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've done acting and directing. I've went to a school where you could do non-theater supported and community theater at the same time and get credit and work for, like, different things. Like, I hosted a poetry festival in college. I was in the Vagina Monologues. I wrote and produced 2 plays for a student works festival. I scenic designed in every space. I'm trying to think what else I did. Oh my god. I did like 4 or 5 community festivals and variety shows for fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
I also had like 3 full-time jobs outside of school. So like, yeah, I mean, liberal arts was great because I had the flexibility to take really random classes,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I got to take some time off, like go work and see what work was like. And then when I was really serious about school, I picked a conservatory who would make up for the gap of time progressing through the industry to get into the job that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So really it was like a graduate sort of jumpstart into where all of my colleagues were starting,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they graduated, as opposed to like waiting 10 years to like hope that I get a job in props. I instead went to an institution that hooked me up to a network where I could start in the jobs I wanted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the main difference is, do you know what you really want to do?
Right.
Yeah.
And can you remember, out of your non-theater classes that you've taken, which one has been the most helpful in your props career?
Oh my gosh. I took a lot of really, really off-the-wall specific... I took a lot of really weird classes
mm-hmm.
Within my major and out of my major. Out of my major, I took, I think it was American Studies. It was an advanced American Studies class in hip-hop music culture.
Mm.
And that was, like, not what I thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. Everyone who took that class was like, oh, it's going to be a hip-hop class. where you like learn about Tupac. It's like, no, this is like heavy cultural, like intensive studies. This was like anthropology. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. I took physics in college, which mm-hmm. was a terrible idea as an arts major, even though it was a non-major class. Mm-hmm. I took earth science and mm-hmm. oceanography.
That's awesome.
Which was really rough because my roommate was the TA and he used to pick on me because I was the only name in the class he knew. So when he couldn't think of someone to call on, he just called on me and I never did my homework. So, and I was always like, I don't know, it's the ocean. Oh, I forgot. but you know, you got to go on field trips to like the beach. So that was really fun. What else did I take? I did a lot of independent studies. And in my major, I was like, I got credit for being in a guerrilla theater troupe in college. I took a performance studies class in happenings. I taught, oh God, what did I teach? Because I was a TA for a year too. I graduated, I was a TA for a whole year in the shop, which is funny because I never took the shop class. So they had to teach me the lecture 20 minutes before class started, and then I had to teach them like I had already been doing it.
Oh, great.
So to all of my previous students in TA 50 at Santa Cruz, I didn't know what I was doing. I'd only used the bandsaw that day. And when I graduated, I'd only used the saw stop once. So ever in my life. I didn't even own tools in my kit. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have a kit. I was a stage manager still. I know, it's pretty funny. I took a lot of playwriting. I took mostly history theory, like dramatic theories and stuff like that. A lot of Aristotle, a lot of Brecht. Mm-hmm. Mostly Brecht. Some Nietzsche. A lot of semiotics classes. Yeah, I kind of just like took whatever looked interesting. I took like Philippine national diaspora. So it was like Philippine American history through cultural studies major, which is really cool. And I worked for a lot of other traveling student touring groups. Mm-hmm. So like I actually toured with the only multicultural theater troupe on campus and did like outreach, like collegiate outreach for the theater troupe. And they were all devised shows.
Was that just touring around California or nationwide?
It was just California. Okay. But we'd go up and down to at-risk youth and just basically put on skits and do theater workshops to show kids like what it means to be in college at that level and just sort of have like just to see that it is possible to get into college and that that is an option. I didn't know what I wanted to major in, and I just picked theater in that liberal arts school because it was the only thing in high school I was good at. It was the only thing I got straight A's in. I mean, I got straight A's, but like it's the only one I wanted to go back to class for.
Right,
because like my theater program wasn't a tech program. It was a drama program, so you read scripts, and you basically was an advanced English class. So I was just really good at writing papers. And reading scripts. I was just really good at reading and writing.
Yeah.
So, like, college was easy.
Now, looking at your portfolio, which, again, it's at chrishulio.com.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, your furniture is really good. I mean, you've certainly jumped into being able to build things very quickly.
Thank you.
Growing up, did you do a lot of hands-on, any sort of arts and crafts with your family growing up? Or
So, fun fact. Actually, Bland and I have this in common. My dad... His dad was an architect. My dad was a draftsman who worked for an architect and an architectural designer. My mom has a side business as a florist. And my brother's a musician. So arts sort of was inherent in our family. And it was never... We always went to theater as kids. Like, my very first musical was Phantom of the Opera, Pantages, in Los Angeles. And then every year we'd go to the Nutcracker. And so theater was a part of our lives. Like, we always saw musicals that came through, like the Amundsen or Mark Taper Forum. As kids. But as far as doing theater, I didn't get into theater until high school. And I thought that theater was really just acting and reading and like directing plays. I didn't even know anything about the technical side of anything until college, where I was like, wait, what? Like, you have people that do this like for school and get credit? Seriously? Like, I didn't know anything about owning show blacks and like running backstage at all. You know, like I
feel like that's so common too. Like, nobody really knows about the other side of theater.
Yeah, and I really never put the pieces together, which is kind of silly, because you always people always focus on the performative aspect of it. I didn't even think about design, really, until I took my first design class my sophomore year. And I was like, whoa, you're making models out of foam core. My dad does that as an architect. Like, hand drafting. I've been doing that since I was a kid, because, you know, I didn't have a desk to work on as a child. I had a drafting table, you know? I learned to write in all caps and to draft with, like, perfect, like, you know, I thought that all rulers were scale rulers. And I was like, why would you use anything else? This is just so convenient. Like, you know, when you had class projects, my dad would show me how to, like, cut foam core perfectly, and, like, he taught me how to sew. We were the kind of family that always, like, played make-believe together and, mm-hmm. like, make costumes and stuff like that. So I thought everybody's family did that.
Mm-hmm. Surprise, then, they don't.
Yeah, no idea. A lot of people just, like, do not do that. I didn't play video games a whole lot because I wasn't really good at them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we played outside a lot and just pretended all the time. And then the only real reason, I think I said this during Santa Fe when they asked, like, how'd you get into theater? That was, like, the icebreaker question of the uh-huh. day. I got into theater because my mom said, you need friends, so I'm going to sign you up for theater class in uh-huh. high school. Yeah, I was one of those kids that was kind of a loner throughout elementary school, and she signed me up to theaters to, like, sort of get me out of my shell because uh-huh. I was a little bit too introverted. And they were like, I think this will help. And then before you knew it, like, everything just exploded in high school. I was, like, president of the drama club by the time I was a senior. And I was, like, doing, like, competitive thespian festivals because that's a thing. And my poor parents, like, to this day, I, like, didn't realize it until the conference last week mm-hmm. in Lincoln, Nebraska. But I was like, man, to be a theater kid's parent in high school, I commend all of you. Like, what willpower. What love. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no one knows a parent's love until you take them to a high school theater fest and you have, like, 3,000 kids singing Little Shop of Horrors off key just because they can and they felt like it. To be one of those kids to my parents, yeah, that took guts, man. Mm-hmm. And they went to every single show. So, yeah, Santa Cruz opened my eyes. Yeah, it is commitment. Mm-hmm. And they're not even one of those schools that is super heavy on the technical side of offering right. classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You maybe take, like, a sound class. Mm-hmm. It's a general design class, yeah. You know? Like, I still had to take Intro to Modern Dance, for mm-hmm. Christ's sake. To graduate. It's like, you don't have your dance requirements. Like, well, it's my senior year and I think I'm putting it off for a reason. Like, and there's always that one class where all the technicians are in it because they have to graduate. So it's a bunch of seniors who are like, I'm awkward. I don't even own movement clothes. Does that mean I go buy sweats at Walmart? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? So, yeah.
Have you found a balance as being a professor with continuing or advancing your own career as a props professional?
So a lot of the faculty, actually all the faculty here at School of the Arts are actually required to do a certain percentage of outside advancement and development in their professional careers. So uh-huh. that is a part of the requirements of the faculty, specifically within design and production, is they're expected to keep working and stay in touch with the industry. While they're teaching. So a lot of times you'll have a department of, like, 4 or 5 faculty that are currently working on projects or going to conferences, mm-hmm. going to workshops and just advancing their career in certain ways. I mean, a lot of the faculty here, you'll see them on a lot of Broadway credits and a lot of TV and film credits as well, because they're all working professionals. Yeah. And for me personally, since I haven't been in props very long, I've done some consulting for tour. I've done some special projects that some people may have seen. One of the first projects I took on was doing some adjustments to some of the touring props that I had worked with previously on tour mm-hmm. with Networks presentations. And so I also did, like, some of their rehearsal stuff before. I took on some freelance stuff, actually, with Eric over at Triad Stage.
Yes, you built me some very mid-century modern desks and a buffet.
Yeah, and it was really perfectly timed, too, because John Coyne was a designer, and he was mm-hmm. part of my faculty mm-hmm. when I graduated. So he was like, oh, you're building it. Great. Here's what I want. And so it was kind of like being back at school when I moved back. And then most recently, a lot of the other faculty, especially the visual arts faculty, have done art installations here in Winston-Salem since, you know, it's the city of innovation and arts. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of galleries here in Winston, actually. So one of the Wigs and Makeup faculty, Holland Burston, actually the head of the Wigs and Makeup department, she had a show that I built frames for. And then Elizabeth Alexander, who's also a visual arts instructor here, I've worked on a number of installations with her, and actually we're gearing up to do another big one in 2019, I believe. Yeah. And so basically what it is much like building props for Eric, you know, I get drawings or like a concept design. She actually built a model for this upcoming one because it's so intricate and kind of big, mm-hmm. actually. It's really big. Wow. It's actually more like scenery than it is like props. I've built some custom furniture pieces to support her work, which is a lot of paperwork. If you've never seen it, she did the 12 by 12 installation at Sika here in Winston-Salem. And sometimes we, it's something as simple as, hey, I need to ship this stuff and I don't have time to build boxes. It's mm-hmm. like, well, I know I have some experience in shipping random things, mm-hmm. In large, you know, sort of assembly yeah. style, you know, do you need me to make instructions or drawings? I can mm-hmm. do that too. So sometimes it's just applying those skills to other venues. And with her, it's really cool because it's supporting another person's art and, mm-hmm. you know, even though everything I build is painted white or whatever is mm-hmm. going to fit into the installation, it's still supporting it somehow in the same way that props does, which is right. pretty cool.
Yeah. That's now, awesome. when you're doing this, are you the one determining materials and construction methods, or is that kind of already decided?
It depends on the piece. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when we have meetings, it'll be pretty long because she has a really cool studio setup, and she'll sort of walk me through her concept and we'll sort of shoot ideas. Because a lot of different galleries will have different expectations for what they're bringing in, and that's something she coordinates on her end. And a lot of times it's mostly like, here's the material I want for this. I don't really care what you use for this. This is the surface that I mm-hmm. want. So a lot of times it's me backtracking through like, oh, this is going to get painted white. Obviously it's mm-hmm. a gallery. So like this 10-foot table needs to be of really strange proportion. So it's 10 feet long and it's 3 feet wide. And how do you feel about how it looks and what style of furniture do you want? Or it's like, oh, you need to make this chair 7 feet tall and you want to have a person sitting in it wearing some of your art. Okay. I've never put a Queen Anne chair on 6 foot legs, but I can try. So, you know, you have to, it sort of becomes a whole design conversation the same way you would with a theatrical designer. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this mm-hmm. is the thing that I want. How do we make it happen? Sometimes she has particular materials that she wants. Usually it's finishes and then we go backwards from there. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to the whole prop process.
Oh yeah.
The funnier thing is actually switching gears and reminding myself that I'm not talking to someone who does theater all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then trying to find the common vocabulary, mm-hmm. especially with a visual artist, because right. she's not always... Like, you know, we just think very differently, and that's why the partnership mm-hmm. works, because right. I'm more of the mechanics
yeah.
and nuts and bolts of things, literally. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I just want this thing, and it's mm-hmm. roughly about this big? Sure.
Right.
You're like, yeah.
I would imagine a lot of visual arts people are probably used to doing all the art themselves,
yeah.
and so having to communicate how to build something
right.
is probably the first time they're doing it.
Yeah, I had another instructor actually ask me about building frames for his piece, and he's mm-hmm. like, I kind of want it integrated in, and I was like, okay. He's like, I want this surface painted, but this finished in linseed oil, and I said, oh, okay. Well, ultimately, do you expect to transport it as one piece, or do you think it should come apart? And he just went, oh, I never even thought about that. I was like, oh, so I'm going to ask all the really random nitty-gritty questions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fun part, too, is sort of seeing where everyone's strengths sort of fit the puzzle mm-hmm. Between those little yeah. projects, those little one-off projects. Because for me, they're really fun. It's still like doing props, but it's a different kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different kind of expectation. Mm-hmm. And there's no playbill giving you credit. You're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. I helped. And that's mm-hmm. really cool. So... So that's how I've kind of found the balance here, is just mm-hmm. making local connections. But during the regular school year, I also go to a lot of conferences mm-hmm. too, and try to stay up to date. Because the trickiest thing right now is I'm a recent graduate, mm-hmm. you know, relatively recent, within the last 10 years. And mm-hmm. and not a lot has changed, but the stuff that's changed here in the program is mostly technologically based
mm-hmm.
and very much mm-hmm. industry based, right? So staying up to date is actually sort of shifting with where the programs are all going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is outside of regional theater and mm-hmm. into what most people would call themed entertainment, mm-hmm. or just mm-hmm. how to apply the skills to really anything else.
Right.
Like marketing mm-hmm. or theme parks or film and television. It's like, okay, let's not just think about it in one set of ways. Let's break all the mm-hmm. rules and see where it applies to everything else. So, mm-hmm.
And have you gotten to any conferences that weren't theater related conferences?
Yeah, actually. So in November, the dean and the head of the stage properties department and I and a couple of the faculty went to IAPA, mm-hmm. which is the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions Conference in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really huge. It's a gigantic international conference. Mm-hmm. They host one overseas somewhere, and then they host one stateside. And it's usually in Florida, obviously, because there's tons of themed entertainment there. So mm-hmm. it's literally everything from like carnival prizes and popcorn mm-hmm. vending machines to like inflatable attractions that like set up in huge parking lots in like different cities all over the mm-hmm. U.S., to like really advanced like VR and escape rooms, rides and roller coasters, and also all the other stuff that's super props related, like weatherproof paints mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. outdoor scenery and props for theme parks. The Themed Entertainment Association is a great hub because they do a lot of educational-based stuff with themed entertainment in schools like SCAD and CalArts and now UNCSA. Uh-huh. And also just like really cool advanced technology for creating themed entertainment props and animatronics and mm-hmm. scenery. So we talked to a lot of guys who have like CNC carvers and it was kind of stimulation overload. It was mm-hmm. the expo floor was kind of like being at a theme park in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. for, you know, advanced research, we went to Harry Potter World to like see the products in
the
action.
End result.
Right, yeah. The end result. And there were totally conference tours, like backstage tours at mm-hmm. Avatar, Animal Kingdom. Oh, and actually mm-hmm. One of my best friends painted the queue line in Avatar. So it was really cool to see some of her work. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't get in because it was all packed, but like, I'm looking forward to seeing the queue mm-hmm. line because she painted it blacklight.
And do they have workshops at this conference, just like USITT, or is it all expo floor?
It's mostly expo floor. I know they have some workshops, but I mm-hmm. think it's mostly educators. And I didn't have a full conference pass for that. I just had expo floor so we could talk to vendors mm-hmm. because like, what's the big foliage company?
Autograph.
Yeah, they Autograph. Were there, and they had a huge, huge booth. So, like, mm-hmm. actually getting to talk to those guys and get a physical catalog,
yeah,
as opposed to like perusing online, that was actually really fun. Mm-hmm. And then going to like different model makers and different companies that are doing themed entertainment was really cool because they talk about how to apply theatrical educations mm-hmm. And theater skills to themed entertainment and what they're doing. It's mm-hmm. all the same concept as scene mm-hmm. design and prop making, but applying that to different venues, you just have to think a little bit differently mm-hmm. about client expectations and mm-hmm. different sort of variables. Mm-hmm. You know, like props in theme parks, they take a lot more wear
right.
because yeah. of the elements, and their installation is so much different mm-hmm. because it's basically permanent scenery,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. more or less. And a lot of our alums who worked in themed entertainment or for companies that build for themed entertainment and theme parks, they're all out there. So we got to hang out with our alums and mm-hmm. just sort of see like what's next for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of their projects they can't talk about because it's probably yeah. like Universal or Disney, but it's still really exciting to like hear that they're doing really interesting work and they're doing a lot more interesting and detailed work, especially in props. And like anyone who's been to Disney or Universal knows that like there's nothing untouched by someone's creativity yeah. mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and yeah. the concept, right? So it's sort of interesting to go as an educator.
Now, how are you finding all of these conferences and festivals, and what is exactly determining which one you would rather go to, and is the school like funding this for you, or how is that all happening?
Yeah, so IAPA, I heard about obviously from our dean, who used to work for Disney Imagineering. so that's really lucky. He kind of just said, hey, you need to go to this, so you're gonna go. Same thing with the festival this summer, the International Thespian Fest this summer. A lot of times it works out with scheduling, so it depends on faculty schedules. USITT is one of those big national conferences that usually lines up with spring mm-hmm. break. And I haven't been, honestly, since I was a student because mm-hmm. a lot of the workshops were useful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for the collegiate and professional world.
Yeah.
Same thing with SETC, but it did get redundant for me. Mm-hmm. After a couple years of going to all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Usually props aren't terribly represented there as yeah. far as workshops, and it is a lot of it's for students.
Right. Yeah, and the last year that I went, Jim Guy did a really huge gun panel mm-hmm. for weapons mm-hmm. and prop weapons in the industry, which is funny because it was a huge panel and he wasn't even there. He had to miss it in Milwaukee, and I was like, it's okay. He does a workshop at School of the Arts. We invite mm-hmm. him out whenever possible, which is usually every other year, and he brings that workshop straight to us. So, and you got to sit on that.
Yeah.
Same thing with the props lab. We had Jay Duckworth here for something called Intensive Arts with our students. Mm-hmm. And he did pretty much a masterclass in just the concept of storytelling through mm-hmm. props and how every object has like a history and story. So as much as those conferences are actually really educational for people that don't go to a conservatory mm-hmm. And aren't getting that intensive educational experience as we provide here, I think as an educator, it's become more of a recruiting source for
right,
us.
Right, yeah.
Sort of like a spot to like find those people who are ready mm-hmm. to like take the next step
mm-hmm.
And sort of pursue a whole education in it. And also, I think next year I'm going to start looking at outlets to actually start teaching.
Because mm-hmm.
that was mm-hmm. the other thing about the International High School Festival is that, you know, the instructors are really great, but they're all doing it basically voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really cool because Tom was doing weapons and cosplay. And I was like, oh, cool. What's it about? And he's like, it's about building props.
Right.
You could totally do this. You uh-huh. already do this for yeah. undergrads, but it's for high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So it's even easier because they don't have as many resources as you do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the concepts are all still the same. And he brought so many props. Mm-hmm. And he's a really fun and animated guy. So, you know, it's really just, I think it would be cool to teach like summer workshops and stuff, but mm-hmm. it is a lot to prep for because yeah. you did yeah. the props lab yeah. this last year.
Yeah. I mean, the props lab was great because it is, there's so many schools where probably yeah. like Santa Cruz or the undergrad I went to, you don't have any classes. And so this is your one chance to kind of right. like see this stuff in action and actually try it out and do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so my students here at UNCSA get to see me every week.
That's
but
true.
People go to USITT, get that like one chance.
Right. I think the last time I went to the standout workshop that I got to actually experience at USITT, one was in Long Beach in like 2012, I mm-hmm. want to say. Mm-hmm. And it was the United Scenic Artist one, mm-hmm. like history in drops in scenic painting, which mm-hmm. was super cool because they talked about The Wizard of Oz. They talked about Gone with the Wind and all these classic movies and like how backdrops are integrated. And to see those people in like just... to know that those drops are still in Hollywood,
uh-huh.
a lot of them,
right.
Is pretty cool. And then Cirque du Soleil did one about animatronics and some of the new shows that they were doing. And then I want to say the last really cool and useful workshop I went to in USITT was 2013, and it was Santa Fe Opera mm-hmm. doing something about small electrics in props mm-hmm. and how yeah. to use, like, tiny foggers and, like, you know, how to hide things and, like, who buys what and, like... the difficulty of buying hardware that then props has to like hide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was really cool, but it's really just conference by conference. A lot of times I've gotten sort of smart about it. I'll read up on what is being offered and see whether or not it's something I'm interested in because mm-hmm. it's a really huge event for our school. So yeah. usually when we're there, we bring about like 40 students.
Yeah.
I want to say
mm-hmm.
that's huge. So.
And then annoy everybody at the Tech Olympics.
We totally annoy everybody. And, you know, yeah.
Now, I know some props people really enjoy doing cosplay and going to Comic-Con. Have you ever done that? Or do you have students that are really into that? Or what are your thoughts?
I do have a lot of students that are really into that. Usually, let's see, I have about 20. Usually there's like two or three that are like really, really into it, or like that's how they found their in into like understanding props. You know, they're the few students who like are really obsessed with specific movies and have sort of like made it their mission to replicate them.
Mm-hmm.
I have one student that stands out in my mind like right at the top of my head.
Is it Jumanji?
It is Jumanji and Captain America and Ghostbusters and oh my god, Back to the Future. He's just like really good at pulling them off. And I know he does some custom stuff. He does a lot of custom really, really well-made cosplay props for specific clients that find him. Mm-hmm. Other students in the past have sort of set up Etsy pages for themselves. Mm-hmm. I at one point had like at least 3 students making specific props on Etsy and selling them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, while going to school, because they were already in the shop. You know, they were just buying extra material and doing it on the side. I wish I could say that I do, but I haven't really had the chance.
Right.
Mostly because I think as an adult, maybe it's not really my crowd, which is cool. Like, it's great, but like, I think it's just a little bit overwhelming. It's a little bit of the, I don't want to bring work home kind of thing. So why would I spend my spare time to do extra? And also I'm a different kind of nerd. And I a lot of those things go over my head. So as much as the props are cool, I often miss the references. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Comic-Con as a child. I definitely went to like the big Marvel Comic-Con when I was a little kid in San Diego.
Yeah.
And definitely got Stan Lee's autograph on some of my like Spider-Man comic books, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Like as a child, didn't even realize how cool it was. Mm-hmm. My dad was like, "Go make that old man sign this thing," and we're like, "Who is that guy?" And he's like, "He'll thank me later." Now we have like really valuable Spider-Mans. But as an adult, it was like, "Yeah, I used to do that as a kid." But like, yeah, it's totally coming back. And I know a lot of them are applying some of the vacuforming and like foam sculpting and carving stuff to cosplay props.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly them just doing it in their free time, which they have very little of.
Yeah.
I see more costume students here doing it.
Okay.
And
more
wigs and makeup students doing it. Because it's a little bit easier to just like whip out the paint and do some like really cool effects or prosthetics when you have extra foam latex and stuff like that. As opposed to like, oh, I just have all of this like AVA foam lying around. Like, none of my students can say that. Uh-huh. You know, their props are a little bit more detailed. And if they're going to make them something, it's usually for like a client.
Yeah. Usually if you're going to do a cosplay prop, you have to like also build the costume and wear it. And I'm not going to wear a costume and parade around.
Yeah. And like, kudos. It's a huge deal. I like wearing comfortable clothes on the weekend. Not every day as well. I don't even wear Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. If that gives you any context, like, I barely ever wear Halloween
costumes. Well, I think it'll come back around because when you become a parent, you then have to dress your kids up, and then you're like, well, I might as well dress up too, and now they're into all of this.
So. I think that was totally a family outlet. And the other thing, too, is my parents, you know, it was just me and my brother, so they just make 2 outfits. You know, one slightly smaller than the other. And it was like, done. You're both scarecrows this year. Like, you're both ninjas. You know, like, next year, what are we going to be? You know,
that's amazing.
I haven't gotten huge into cosplay. I think it would be fun to go to something like Monsterpalooza.
Right. Do you think UNCSA will ever try to recruit at a comic convention
Dragon Con? I wouldn't put it past them, honestly. I think they're absolutely interested. Especially with the new direction in some of these concentrations. I know that we were just talking earlier today. Wouldn't it be cool to like go as a bunch of faculty to Monsterpalooza again? Uh-huh. Because Wigs and Makeup used to go and they just haven't in a while. So I think a lot of times we're just sort of like finding the interest, and everything in this industry sort of like comes in waves, right? Uh-huh. So like sometimes there's like tons of interest in props or tons of interest in coming back to school, and we get like 50 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get none. You know, like when I applied, I was the only graduate student that applied my year, and it was a shock when I found out I had a classmate. Mm-hmm. You know, some years we have tons of people really, really interested, and some years we just don't. Mm-hmm. So I think the same thing is true with different interests in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, especially as a really busy faculty member, you don't want to like lose a whole week, let alone valuable class time going to conferences. So it's a little bit more strategic, I think, now for me as a teacher.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, this looks like fun.
Right.
Oh, I can't make it work. I have to like go to dress rehearsal and like teach a class on Monday. So it's a little bit harder to just like skip out. But summer stuff. I'm actually really bummed I'm missing spam this summer.
Oh, dear.
I know, because we'll Chicago is a really cool city. Totally.
See, I have mixed feelings about Chicago, but
I love Chicago. I don't want to live there, but I love it there.
All right, well, before we wrap up this episode, Chris, do you have anything you want to say to people, give some advice, or just...
Mostly, thank you guys for having me. I had a lot of fun talking about props. can't think of any.
And your website is chrishulio.com. Anything else you want us to check out? Your Instagram, Snapchat?
It's linked through there.
Okay.
So Chris Julio Fabrications is linked on Instagram through my website.
Where can people see you next? If people are interested in checking out UNCSA or you in particular, are there any conferences coming up that you're already booked for?
I'm pretty sure we talked today about going back to IAAPA in Florida.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then usually I do the recruiting trip for incoming freshmen at our interviews in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because there's usually three locations, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm from LA, mm-hmm. I like to go back home and visit family while I'm at it. Yeah, right now I'm just sort of going to focus on getting classes in order.
Right.
So cool. Not that I can think of yet, but you never know because uh-huh. things sort of pop up at this school last mm-hmm. minute.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This has been Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts.
Make sure to check out our Twitter at Silk Mache and feel free to email us at propspodcast@gmail.com and follow us on iTunes.
And this has been your host, Eric Hart.
And Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.